You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Today marks the two-year anniversary of Haiti's January 2010 earthquake.
I was inside the house, and then I felt all the houses shaking with me. Even the couch I sat on, I felt it shaking with me.
Many buildings have collapsed. A three-story building a block from us collapsed, and many others in the area have collapsed. Also, a gas station was set on fire 1 mile from us.
I'm hoping I don't have to go to Haiti to bury aunts and uncles or nephews.
The 7.0 magnitude quake devastated the capital city, Port-au-Prince, and Haiti's government estimates the death toll was more than 316,000 people. The government itself was nearly wiped out. It's hard to imagine such devastation. And in a nation so impoverished and so politically unstable, the recovery was made more desperate.
They just don't have the capacity, medically or otherwise, to deal with this kind of a disaster.
We don't receive any help yet. Nobody passed by to ask us what's going on, what we're going to do, what's the decision.
Now, we must rebuild the university. But we need also some teachers, professors. Our big problem is to find money, funding, resources.
Yet there was a promise in all of the devastation that became a beacon of hope in Haiti. Haitian people rediscovered a level of self-reliance almost unknown for decades of corrupt rule by self-interested dictators and politicians. Could that self-reliance lead the recovery? And could the suddenly empowered people of Haiti bring the political reforms that had eluded the country for generations? On this second anniversary of that devastating earthquake, we wanted to tell two stories of the progress that has been made in Haiti since the quake and what's left to be done. Joining us now is Jean-Yvon Carnizan, the founder and president of Postelet Levy for the Rising Sun. It's a Haitian charity for underprivileged children in the outskirts of Port-au-Prince, and he's been working hard for the last 2 years. Jean-Yvon Carnizan, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. And my first question to you is really the bigger story of the promises that so many Haitians thought could be kept, that their nation would develop a rational political system that would help the people of Haiti, that it would become a more self-reliant place. Has that come to pass at all?
In some instances, yes. In some instances. However, it is not so much the promises. There is also the promises of our government to the people of Haiti. If we do not honor our own promises, we cannot demand that other people do. And this has been the biggest problem. The last administration, for more than a year and a half, didn't do anything at all. And even today, I don't think we've removed 60% of the rubbles. And all that talk about rebuilding, reconstruction, no one is seeing any of it. In the meantime, it is said that we've already spent close to $4 billion.
So that's...
We are still building temporary shelters. And 2 years later, the people are still in those tent camps. And it's really very difficult to just watch these things and go along with all that's been said about the promises, about the progress being made, and it is not evident.
Difficult to imagine the promises being kept. The government perhaps more accountable today than it was under the dictatorships of the past, but so much remaining to be done. That's Jean-Yvon Carnizan, the founder and president of Postelet Levy for the Rising Sun, a Haitian charity for underprivileged children in the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. The second story we want to tell 2 years after the earthquake begins with a moment on this program. Franz Neptune, who is an earthquake survivor in Haiti, and his girlfriend Mallory Thurlow were reunited on this program, separated during the earthquake, reunited during the program. Listen.
before you go, we actually have your girlfriend on the line. She said she hasn't been able to connect with you all morning, and we have her on the line now. Mallory, are you there?
I'm here.
And you heard Franz's voice?
Yes, I did. It's wonderful to hear him.
Franz, can you hear Mallory?
Hey, Mallory, is that you?
Yes, it's me. You okay?
I'm okay.
And they went on to found a charity and to help in the rebuilding effort. And we sent reporter Alex Goldmark, WNYC reporter, down to Haiti to check in not only with the people of Haiti, but also with the couple who are reunited on our program. Alex is here in the studio with us. Good morning, Alex.
Good to see you.
So you went and saw them.
Yeah.
And they're hard at work.
They are. When I walked in, they had a gaggle of children happily watching a video in their brand new orphanage.
And how does it look? They're getting support. We certainly heard some cynical comments from Jean just a moment ago about so much left to be done. It sounds like their story might be a little bit more positive.
Well, sure. At first, I worried that they might not have appreciated that reunification being so public. I spent all night calling everyone in Haiti I could that night for the takeaway. Found Franz.
That's right. You were producing on the program then.
Yeah. And so then I was eager to meet them and a little worried they might have resented
it. I think it was a media stunt by the public radio station.
Except that it was totally random that we happened to connect them that time. And Franz told me that no one was able to get through to him on his cell phone except for the two times, me the night before and the takeaway live on the air, and so that he's actually was amazed that we reached him at all, and they were really grateful. They've listened to the segment over and over again.
To be able to talk to her and, you know, to know that she's doing good and for her to know that I'm doing good, I think it was a huge blessing. I went online and listened to it. I mean, I can't stop smiling. And
imagine a good news media story. And, of course, the Internet makes it possible for them to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, they said they've gone back several times.
So how's the orphanage looking? You say it is rebuilt. There's a lot of children there.
So their original orphanage got completely destroyed, and they spent about a year and a half living in tents outside of it because it wasn't structurally safe to move back in. And 2 years later, they're about back to where they were at a new site rebuilding it. It looks beautiful. It's a large building. They've got enough water to keep them safe if there's another earthquake, they said, for many months. And they've kind of even expanded their services a little. So now not just taking in wayward children, they're offering medical care to the tent cities.
Well, what about the service needs? Because those tent cities still exist. How are they addressing that? And how urgent do they feel those needs are at this point?
They think it's extremely urgent. And they are dire. I mean, a warren of camps is a ideal environment for disease and crime and destitution. So they set up these clinics in some of the tents. They say they have adopted some tent cities, and they found some pretty troubling new problems, which included sexual violence against women. That's sort of the main one that they stumbled upon.
Woman after woman is coming in with layers and layers of clothing, tears in their eyes, afraid to find out if they're pregnant or not because they had just been the last victim and afraid that their child's going to be next.
That's Mallory Thurlow, very much the social activist worker and humanitarian aid worker there in Haiti, where there are still urgent needs. How vulnerable do you think in your travels around Haiti the people of Haiti are? They've yearned for a government to really protect them. That has definitely not come to pass. What are the feelings of the people you talk to?
Well, there's no doubt that the 500,000 people still living in tents are by far the most vulnerable. As one aid worker put it to me, they're just a little razor blade slid away from all kinds of violence and predatory acts. They are grateful that they have a government that is now stepping up actions. The pace of getting people into homes has increased in recent months, though, of course, it's still a third of the people left homeless are still in tents.
I remember after the earthquake, people we spoke with who you booked on the program said, it's Haiti, you know, nothing good can ever happen
right here.
Is there any sense that maybe we're past that, that there's a little more accountability, that the self-reliance has sort of become a sense of we can be masters of our own destiny, even given the extraordinary obstacles?
You know, the people in the business community actually did have a sense of that when I talked to them. They said that for the first time since the quake, people are starting to talk about investment, talk about entrepreneurship, talk about small businesses. A Korean factory just signed a deal to come to Haiti. So there was that sense a little bit, but the folks in the camps themselves, they still felt desperate. When I asked them questions that I thought would be leading to positive answers, I got told that some of them felt like they had been left there like dogs out in some of the camps that are more remote.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for going down and checking in with Mallory and Franz. And it's great to hear that they're doing so well. And, of course, sobering to hear that there is so much left to do. Alex Goldmark just returned from a trip to Haiti to check on the recovery 2 years after the quake. We also spoke with Jean-Yvon Kernizan, the founder and president of Pot Soleil Levy, a Haitian charity for underprivileged children in the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.